The word father means founder or author or foundation. That's what a father is. He's the founder of the family. He's the author of the family in a lot of ways, and God intends for him to be the foundation of the family. God's desire is that every family have a father that authors a God-fearing, God-honoring, God-loving home. And Dad, you don't have to do it by yourself. God gave you a wonderful helpmeet, but you're to lead the way. You are to say, as Joshua did, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you say, well, it's tougher than it's ever been to raise a godly family. Our world has gone mad. I would agree with you. But so was Noah's. Let me point out some issues of Noah and his raising of his family. You're in Genesis 6, look at verse 5. He raised a godly family in times of extreme wickedness. Verse 5, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And yet, despite the extreme wickedness, he still raised kids that loved Jesus. Noah's family raised them in a time of extreme violence. Make Chicago and New York and Detroit look normal. Look at verse 11. The earth was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. In this time period, when he's bringing up godly boys, God's ways were mocked. Look at verse 12. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And in spite of this environment, Noah still raised boys that loved Jesus. Noah brought up these boys in the midst of the coming judgment of God. Look down at verse 17. Behold, even I, God is talking, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. So Noah brought up his family, his three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, to love the Lord in a time of wickedness. Now let me give you Matthew 24, verse 37. As the days of Noah, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man. So we are living in a time much like Noah's. It's wicked. Violence is everywhere. It's corrupt before God, and judgment is coming upon our land. And the way Noah raised his children to love the Lord, you can as well. You say, what I got to do? Let me give you five keys today to raising godly children. And we learn all of these from Noah. Sermon I've entitled, A Faithful Father. First of all, notice Noah's faith. Genesis 6, look at verse 8. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. First time grace is used in Scripture. Grace is God's unmerited, undeserved favor. You say, how are we saved? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You say, well, how was Noah saved? Noah was saved the same way you're saved. Faith in Jesus as the Messiah, as payment for his sins. Faith and grace. So the world at this time got what it deserved. It deserved judgment. And Noah at this time got what he didn't deserve. He got grace. And that is the same situation you and I have. Hey, we can take the judgment and we can go to a place called hell. Or we can accept God's grace through faith and we can go to heaven. You cannot be the father that God would have you to be until you've accepted Jesus as your Savior. You're in verse 8. Look at verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. You see what it says? And Noah was a just man, just in his standing before God. So he was justified. God's grace came to Noah. He received God's grace and he accepted, and he was justified. Glory, hallelujah. That's how it happens to all of us. The Holy Spirit starts convicting us of sin, and God offers us his grace. You don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven. All you got to do is believe in me. And if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you can be justified just like Noah. Can I get a witness this morning? Number one, Noah's faith. Number two, notice Noah's focus. Verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. Notice what it says. Perfect in his generations. Perfect there means upright. Perfect there means blameless. Perfect doesn't mean sinless perfection. So it's not like Noah never did anything wrong. He did. But when he did something wrong, he'd go back and apologize. He would go back and he would make things right. Perfect. And then it says, in his generation, in his time period. So amongst his society, amongst his neighbors, amongst his family, amongst his kids, he was upright. He was blameless. Look what the next phrase says. And Noah walked with God. Refers to intimacy. Noah just wanted to be close to God. Why was he the father that he was? Don't miss it. He was justified. He was saved. But secondly, he was walking with God Almighty. He was listening to God. He was talking to God through prayer, and he was walking with God. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, if you'll draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. You take a step toward God, and God will take a step toward you. And God would say, hey, I want to spend time with you. A couple of days ago, Friday, Tracy and I were out at a golf course here in town locally. And we were walking the golf course. And I was convinced I was going the right direction, and we were going to arrive at our destination. So we go. We were going to get refreshments, and we go, and we finally get where we're going. And the guy down there says, sir, you went the wrong direction. You're going to have to go back this way, and you're going to have to go back and back and back and back and back, and then you'll arrive at your destination. At that moment, God bless my wife. I love her. She did not want to be walking with me. She would have walked with anybody. She would prefer to be riding one of those golf carts instead of walking. Hey, Noah walked with God, and he always wanted to walk with God. He had bad days. He had good days. But he was consistently just hanging out with God. That is the foundation of his life. Don't miss it. He was saved. Secondly, he was sincerely seeking God, Noah's focus. Thirdly, notice his faithfulness. Now, here's my challenge. Up there in the balcony, God wants you to do something for him. Has God ever come to you, spoken to you, challenged you, and said, this is my purpose and my plan for you to accomplish? That's what he did with Noah. Noah could have said, I don't have the resources to do it. Noah could have said, well, I'm not smart enough to do it. Noah says, I could have said, I'm too old to do what you're asking me to do. Noah didn't do any of that. God came to Noah with this humongous task, and Noah says, Yes, sir, God, I'll do it. So before we look, verse 13, what Noah did. Are you willing to do, ladies, this is for you too. Are you willing to do whatever God asks for you to do? May involve money. It may involve effort. It may involve your reputation. But will you just go ahead and sign the contract today and say, God, you fill it out. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Look at verse 13. This was a big task. God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. The earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Look at verse 14. Make an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. The length of the ark shall be 100 cubits. The breadth of it 50 cubits, the length of it 30 cubits. This was no small boat. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall. Let me just see. How many of you have been to the Ark Encounter in Kentucky? Just raise your hand. So if you've seen it. When I saw that, I was like, that is a big, big boat. And God blessed Noah and his boys and the helpers that he hired to build that big, big boat. 1.5 times of a football field, more than 4 stories tall. Each deck had total area of 96,000 square feet. To give you an idea, this building with Sunday school classrooms back is 25,000 square feet. So 4 times the size of this building was the ark on each floor. And they had 3 floors. This was a costly decision. There was no boat dealership for Noah to run down and say, hey, I need a boat 150 cubits long. There was no boat dealership. There was no shipyard. He couldn't go back and say, hey, God gave me these plans. Will you build this boat for me? There was no shipyard. Noah had to build this boat from scratch. Now, a lot of times, I'll go see my neighbors, and God has just surrounded me with wonderful neighbors. So if I can't figure it out, I'll just go see my neighbors and say, hey, how you do this? Or how does yours work? Or help me with that. Nobody had ever built a boat before. Noah couldn't just run and talk to his neighbors. Costly decision. This was a confusing decision. God told Noah of a coming flood. He had never seen a flood. He had never seen rain. Look, Genesis chapter 2, verse 6, they're going to put it on the screen. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So it was kind of like a sprinkler system all over the world that watered the earth from beneath. It had never rained 1 time. So God tells Noah, I'm going to send a flood. And Noah says, what's that? It's going to rain. And Noah says, what's that? This was a confusing command. I like Home Depot. I like Lowe's. I like Ace. I love Jerry Fry Hardware down here. Noah didn't have any of those. He can just run down there, do it yourself, baby. Here I am. This is my list, what I need. He couldn't do that. I'm very thankful for power tools. Thank God for those saws. Thank God for those cordless screwdrivers. God bless them. He had no cordless screwdrivers. There was no arc melon kits. Been trying to convince Tracy on an arc melon kit or a log cabin melon kit for years. And she says, I want nothing to do with it. There was no arc melon kit. Some of you are saying, I'm too old to do what God wants me to do. I'm in my 70s. Do you realize Noah was almost 500 years old when he started? It took 120 years. He was almost 500 when he started. If anybody had a reason, God, it's too big, it's too much money, and I'm too old. You 70-year-old, sir, you can't say any of those. Because I'm just going to point to Noah, almost 500 years old. He says, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Noah obeyed, even though it was an impossible task. So, Dad, let me get in your business. What is the task God is asking you to do? God has gifted you. God has talented you. And it's not just so that you can do stuff on your honey-do list around the house. I'm not asking you what, if you come and ask me, I'll give you something to do. I'm not asking you what Neil Jackson wants you to do. What does God want you to do? And here's what I love about this story. Nothing will build the faith of your children than seeing their daddy step out on faith and do something impossible because he heard from God. Hey, this makes no sense. This is going to cost us a whole lot of money, but God's told me to do it. And when kids see their daddy saying, you know what? I'm going to do what God's called me to do. Kids say, my daddy's the real deal. Impossible task, costly task, confusing task. And how did Noah respond? Genesis chapter 6, look at verse 22. Thus did Noah. According, you see that next word? All that God commanded him. Not most of what God commanded him. All that God commanded him, so did he. What's God calling you to do? Some of you at salvation, you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and the Holy Spirit just is thumping you. You need to get saved. Some of you have never been baptized. Some of you have been saved for years and never been baptized. And you need to follow him. I don't know what God's calling you to do. Nothing will encourage the faith of your children than to see their daddy stepping up. I'm going to follow God. Number four. Notice Noah's family. One of the things I love personally to do, because I'm third generation preacher, is I love hearing about kids. Because my daddy's told me numerous times, there is no success without a successor. And you've got to pass your faith on to your children so that they catch it. Noah's children caught it. What did he do to enable him to be a good father? Genesis 6, look at verse 18. He won their respect, verse 18. But with thee will I establish my covenant. God is talking. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy son's wife with thee. When God spoke, it wasn't at family supper time, so that Miss Noah heard it, and Ham, the goof off, and Shem and Japheth, they heard it as well. While Noah was walking with God, while Noah was communing with God, God told him what he wanted to do. Miss Noah, the three boys, they had to hear it from their daddy, because they never heard God's voice. So what caused them to believe in their dad? Listen to me, Dad. He was the real thing. He was genuine. He had won their respect. And they were willing to follow their dad onto that ark. Don't you know that the kids at school were ridiculing old Noah? Hey, Ham, Shem, Japheth, what's that your daddy's doing in the front yard? He's building a what? Cause it's going to what? They were ridiculing old Noah. He had reasons for his kids to say, Dad, you've gone off of your rocker and put him in some nursing home somewhere. But they didn't, because he was the real deal. He won their respect. Father, you're going to have to do that with your children. It takes time. It takes transparency. It takes you saying sorry when you do what's wrong. And it takes you just living Jesus in front of them day in and day out. He won their respect. Look, you're in Genesis 6. Turn over a page. Look at Genesis 7, verse 7. He won their response. Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, and to the ark, because the waters of the flood. Noah's faith was not transferable. So just because he walked with God did not mean that his children were going to walk with God. But Noah's faith was contagious. He was so in love with Jesus. He didn't have a Bible like you and I have. But he had Jesus, and he had the Holy Spirit there working. He followed hard after God. And those children grew up in an environment where God was supreme, and God was to be listened to, and God was to obey, and God was to be followed. And he could transfer his faith to them, but they got it because it was contagious. Parents, you can't save your children, but you can put them in an environment where they will catch your faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Shem, Ham, and Jacob learned to become men of God by spending time with their daddy. I can see these three boys. I don't know how old they were. But that gopher wood is not light, and they're carrying it, and they're holding it up. And he says, hey, I don't know what kind of level he had, but I know that boat was built right. Hey, Ham, get that end up a little bit more. And they're holding it. They're putting that pitch on that. They're all working with their dad, doing what God has commanded them to do. And that's how you pass on your faith to your children. It's been estimated that the average 5-year-old spends 25 minutes a week interacting, not one-on-one, but interacting, communicating with his father. The average 5-year-old spends 25 hours a week watching television. And you wonder who's getting the values, where they're getting these 5-year-olds are getting their values from. 25 minutes a week with Dad versus 25 hours with Disney and the Cartoon Network and NBC and ABC and CBS. You tell me who's raising your children. Dad, don't let culture push you out of the way. Say, no, God gave these children to me, and I'm going to bring them up to love Jesus just like I love Jesus. Noah's family, number 5, and I'll be done. Notice Noah's finish. They're going to put it on the screen. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. And God spared not the old world, but he saved Noah, the 8th person. Notice this next phrase. A preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, it says. Now, if you'd have gone in and interviewed him, hey, Noah, what's your occupation? I think he would have said, I'm a construction worker. I'm a carpenter. I'm a builder. But Scripture refers to him as a preacher of righteousness. How did that come about? I can see the neighbors coming up. Noah, what are you doing? I'm building a boat. What's a boat? And he would have to tell them what a boat was. Why are you building a boat? Because God's going to send a flood. What's a flood? And him trying to explain what a flood is and how it's going to come by rain. And they say, what's rain? And Noah says, God spoke to me. God showed me what's going to happen, and I can see him witnessing to his neighbors. I can see Noah telling them about the coming judgment that was going to come upon the land, and I can see Noah, I don't know if he had a hanky, but I can see Noah saying, hey, but God's made a promise. He's made a way of escape. If you'll get on this boat, you'll not perish. And I can see him, that's how he became a preacher of righteousness. You're in Genesis 6. Turn over to Genesis 8, and I'll wrap this up. Noah lived for God in a crazy environment, and his kids caught his faith. The ark, all it is a testimony for Jesus. Genesis 8. Look at verse 16. You say, how did old Noah make it in this crazy time period? Genesis 8, look at verse 16. God is talking. The boat has landed. They made it through the flood, the 40 days, the 40 nights of rain. The water has gone down. God says to Noah, Genesis 8, verse 16, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Notice, God didn't come to Noah and say, hey, Noah, come out of that ark. He said, go out of that ark. You say, what does it matter? What's the difference? Because God was on the boat with Noah. If the boat went down, God was going down with the boat as well. How did Noah make it? He walked with God, and God was with him. Dad, this is my word for every father today. The greatest need of your child is not your money. It's not for you to buy them clothes and buy them cars and send them off to some fancy Ivy League school. The greatest need of your children is for you to be close to God. God was with him. And he says, hey, Noah, you go out because God was on the boat. You're in Genesis 8. Let me give you one more, and I'm done. Genesis 8, look at verse 4. And the ark rested. It landed. In the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. He said, all right, what's the big deal about that? Jewish calendar starts in October. So if you were to go 7 months from October, you're going to find that the seventh month would be April. So the ark landed in April on the 17th day. Why is that important? Passover is always on the seventh month, the 14th day. So Passover is always on April the 14th. The ark landed on April the 17th. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? The ark is a picture of Jesus, that when we will go on the ark of Christ, we find safety. We find provision. We find protection. Passover was always on April the 14th. The ark landed on April 17th. You say, okay, preacher, what's the big deal? Jesus was crucified, and he was buried for 3 days. So that means Jesus got up out of that grave on April 17th. The seventh month, the 17th day of the month. It was just his whole life. Glory, hallelujah. A Baptist in here needs to shout. It was all a picture of Jesus. It was all a picture of the saving power of the Lord Jesus. That's what Noah's life was all about. And that's what every father's life should also be about. Hey, I'm living, I'm breathing, I'm working, I'm sacrificing to show my children the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know if they had rocking chairs back in that day, but I can see old Noah at the end of his life sitting in that rocker just rocking back and forth, smiling, happy, because he spent his life walking with the Lord. He spent his life talking with the Lord, and his children got his faith. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6. A year ago, I couldn't shout about this verse. Today, I can shout. Children's children are the crown of old men, that's grandchildren. I got the old man part, and hallelujah, now I got the grandpa part. One's here and one's on the way. Children's children are the glory of old men, the crown of old men. Look at the next part. And the glory of children are their fathers. Dad, the greatest need of your children is for you to walk with God. Don't let them down. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can't lead your children in the way that they should go until you've been born into the family of God. That's realizing your sin debt. And by faith, the same way Noah did, accepting the Lord Jesus as your substitute, dying for your sin, giving you his righteousness, and you becoming a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never done it, accept the Lord Jesus today. Don't leave here today without accepting Jesus. Britton, I want to close out by singing, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. My second word for daddies. Thank God for good daddies who play ball with their children. Kids need that. Thank God for good daddies who teach their children how to work. Children need that. The greatest gift you need to transfer to your children is a love for the Lord Jesus. Where you just model it, where you demonstrate it, where you live it, and it's so contagious. They say, I want my daddy's God. We're not going to have a walk-down invitation. We're going to have a stand-up invitation. It's time for men to square their shoulders and stop letting their wives lead the family spiritually. Say, hey, as for me, my house, we're going to serve Jesus.